Chapter 9. Defense Pack, or DPAC, as it would quickly and widely become known, made a roaring entry onto the loose and murky field of political finance. No political action committee in recent history had appeared with as much muscle behind it. Its seed money came from a Chicago financier named Mitzker, an American with dual Israeli citizenship. He put up the first $1 million, which lasted about a week. Other Jewish high rollers were quickly brought into the fold, though their identities were shielded by corporations and offshore accounts. Teddy Maynard knew the dangers of having a bunch of rich Jews contribute openly and in an organized fashion to Lake's campaign. He relied on old friends in Tel Aviv to organize the money in New York. Mitzker was a liberal when it came to politics, but no issue was as dear as the security of Israel. Aaron Lake was much too moderate on social matters, but he was also dead serious about a new military. Middle East stability depended on a strong America, at least in Mitzker's opinion. He rented a suite at the Willard in D.C. one day, and by noon the next he had leased an entire floor of an office building near Dulles. His staff from Chicago worked around the clock, plowing through the myriad details required to instantly outfit 40,000 square feet with the latest technology. He had a 6 a.m. breakfast with Elaine Tyner, a lawyer lobbyist from a gigantic Washington firm, one she'd built with her own iron will and lots of oil clients. Tyner was 60 years old and currently regarded as the most powerful lobbyist in town. Over bagels and juice, she agreed to represent DPAC for an initial retainer of $500,000. Her firm would immediately dispatch 20 associates, and that many clerks to the new DPAC offices, where one of her partners would take charge. One section would do nothing but raise money. One would analyze congressional support for Lake and begin gently at first, the delicate process of lining up endorsements from senators and representatives and even governors. It would not be easy. Most were already committed to other candidates. Yet another section would do nothing but research military hardware, its costs, new gadgets, futuristic weapons, Russian and Chinese innovations, anything that candidate Lake might need to know. Tyner herself would work on raising money from foreign governments, one of her specialties. She was very close to the South Koreans, having been their presence in Washington for the past decade. She knew the diplomats, the businessmen, the big shots. Few countries would sleep easier with a beefed-up United States military than South Korea.
"I feel sure they'll be good for at least $5 million," she said confidently, "initially anyway."
From memory, she made a list of 20 French and British companies that derived at least a fourth of their annual sales from the Pentagon. She'd start working on them immediately. Tyner was very much the Washington lawyer these days. She hadn't seen a courtroom in 15 years, and every meaningful world event originated within the Beltway and somehow affected her. The challenge at hand was unprecedented. Electing an unknown last-minute candidate who, at the moment, enjoyed 30% name recognition and 12% positives. What their candidate had, though, unlike the other flakes who dropped in and out of the presidential derby, was seemingly unlimited cash. Tyner had been well paid to elect and defeat scores of politicians, and she held the unwavering belief that money would always win. Give her the money, and she could elect or beat anybody. During the first week of its existence, DPAC buzzed with unbridled energy. The offices were open 24 hours a day as Tyner's people set up shop and charged forward. Those raising money produced an exhaustive computerized list of 310,000 hourly workers in defense and related industries, then hit them hard with a slick mail-out pleading for money. Another list had the names of 28,000 white-collar defense workers who earned in excess of $50,000 a year. They were mailed a different type of solicitation. The DPAC consultants, looking for endorsements, found the 50 members of Congress with the most defense jobs in their districts. 37 were up for re-election, which would make the arm-twisting that much easier. DPAC would go to the grassroots, to the defense workers and their bosses, and orchestrate a massive phone campaign in support of Arron Lake and more military spending. Six senators from defense-heavy states had tough opponents in November, and Elaine Tiner planned a lunch with each of them.